Are you achieving your goals at work and in your relationships and personal life? Personal accountability is the key. Mark Samuel is co-author of the book, The Power of Personal Accountability, Achieve What Matters to You. As president of Impact Corporation, Mark helps individuals and teams around the world overcome obstacles to reach new levels of fulfillment, excellence, and success. Visit www.marksamuel.com to learn about his accountability coaching services and products, or call 323-969-0088. MarkSamuel.com, success you can count on. 323-969-0088.
Good morning on Circles of Change again. We've got a series of four live guests today, which is always a pleasure to welcome up first my broadcast partner, Mark Samuel from Impact Corporation. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Zara.
Well, let's see. 2 weeks ago, we caught you fresh back from Saudi Arabia. So have you been hanging around the greater Los Angeles area here recently?
I have literally been in 9 cities in 10 days.
In 10 days. Oh, dear.
I just got back, and I am telling you, I do not recommend that kind of travel schedule.
Yes. Although you're the one that knows how to, you know, put yourself in the meditative state as you go through security yet again, but that does sound like a little bit over the top to me. Let's go. Well, was this part of a book tour for your new book, Making Yourself Indispensable, Mark?
No, it was a combination of client engagement, family engagement, and what I would call East Coast travel trauma.
Oh, dear, yeah, absolutely. Trying to get through it, what's gone across the country. Either that or I was going to accuse you of trying to boost up your frequent flyer mile accounts at this time of year so you can make sure to keep your premium status.
That's right.
Yeah, we don't need any more of that, isn't that the truth?
No, indeed.
Well, Mark, of course, your topic, your passion, your insight has been around the whole accountability loops and models around how we can learn to count on ourselves, plus count on others to get the results that we want. All that is predicated, of course, on how we manage ourselves and the voices, the board of director, the committee, whatever we say in our head. So I know you wanted to perhaps take us in that venue of how do we learn to trust the right voices, and particular if we've got any of our beliefs that might be holding us back.
Yes, to me it's you know, I find this the ongoing challenge because, you know, we obviously do, you know, we spend a lot of time in our head. Every person does. Just think about when you're driving your car and, you know, you get to a destination and you don't even remember thinking about how you got there.
Yeah. Because
you were involved in some conversation inside your head. And, you know, and that's not a bad thing. It's what we do as human beings. But the dilemma is what's in there. What is that mm-hmm. conversation? Mm-hmm. Because so often it's premised on either, our history, certain beliefs that we then just, you know, that don't serve us, that we then continue to replicate in our stories and in our minds.
And thus in our actions, right?
Exactly, because there's no way that we couldn't act based on the reality that we've created in our heads. And you know, for me, the way it shows up is it causes me to worry about things that I have no need to worry about. Just because I may have had a bad incident occur in my past and I'm afraid of it happening again, so then it becomes a worry. Or I can't predict the future, you know, of a situation, and I'm afraid it's not going to work out when it worked out just fine. Mm-hmm. And
I went through something very similar along these lines, and I think it's something that a lot of us fall prey to with this whole instant texting, communicating. We think we're communicating as opposed to relaying information. And that was, I hadn't heard back from a very important client for a long time. And I mean, I'm sending email, I'm calling, I'm leaving notes for his admin, you know, trying to be polite of, I assume that because you're this, that's why I haven't heard back from you. And all I could start hearing these voices in my head was, you know, I bet you they're cutting back on your contract. I bet you it's coming to the year end. They're going to drop you.
Yes.
And
yes.
I bet you. And I mean, I'm playing this all out in my head for weeks. And I finally got through to the client yesterday, and he was like, oh, hi, how you doing? And immediately it was like, I want to say, I can go to kill you. And then I thought, no, wait a minute. You're not the problem. It's me. It's the voices that were in my head that were telling me to be on guard. And he was like, yeah, well, you know, we could probably start that up in January. And I'm thinking, holy smokes, the wasted energy and emotions on,
yes,
on, as I would call it, feeding the monsters in the closet chocolate, yes, chip cookies. And there aren't even monsters there, let alone don't give them the cookies.
Right, right, right. And it's amazing. And my guess would be that probably isn't the first time that's ever happened.
You got it. That's exactly, that's the other point. You're right, is how do I watch my own tapes, or you're saying is my own limiting beliefs. And I probably, if I sat there and thought about it, it probably plays back to some situation that did happen, and I had to deal with the triage after the fact, but thus it comes back all too familiar when it really need not.
Absolutely, and I would challenge every one of the listeners, you know, to think back at all the times that you either worried about something or really, you know, like thought something was going to go terrible and you'd never survive it, and here you are today and everything was basically fine. And yeah, there may have been some we've all had those challenging times, but you're here and you're okay, even though we thought we might not have been able to get through it, or we thought that it was going to be some terrible tragedy.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know,
and it doesn't mean that tragedy doesn't show up,
right,
but it generally doesn't come from what we, you know, it doesn't usually show up in the way that it appeared in our heads.
That's your point, is it didn't show up the way it appeared in our head. So how is it you coach and help people through this very human condition, Mark?
Well, the one thing that, you know, I find I'm needing to do more and more, and it's hard sometimes, so I don't want to pretend that this is easy, but it's really about how do we quiet ourselves, quiet our minds, and listen rather than turn the thinking mind on, where we're just now going into our ideas and solutions and problem solving, etc. It's almost like, can we take a step back and just listen for a moment, rather than react, or rather than, again, problem solve it.
And the point of doing that is probably to just get ourselves to understand if we're even right, asking ourselves the right questions at the onset?
Yeah, exactly, and really staying open-minded. You know, and I would even suggest to listeners that do it on easy things, like even when you go to a restaurant. And obviously we all, you know, our minds go and our desires go and all that emotional stuff goes. You know, it's like, oh, I want to have the chocolate cake, or I want to have the, you know, the baked potato with everything on it. You know, and there's nothing wrong with doing that if that's what your choice is to do. But if you are concerned with weight, or if you are concerned, it's almost like, how do I quiet myself and just start asking, what's for my highest good? What's going to serve me right now? Let's stop the emotional drivers and the wants and the desires and the little kid inside and all that, and just calm and say, okay, now think about what it's going to feel like when I'm done with the meal, and what's going to really be nurturing, and what's the best choice for me right now. And that doesn't mean you know it's going to work all the time, but if you can, almost as you've often suggested, and I'm the biggest proponent of when you say slow down, stop, you know, just, and take a breath and listen, because it's when we speed up and we go, you know, get that trigger of, I want the cake, oh, I gotta have it now, you know, then we order it, rather than take a breath and slow down and then listen. And what does my body want for me right now?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and really ask. And maybe, you know, and that even could be, gee, it's my little kid that really wants to have the chocolate cake. Great, then go have the chocolate cake. You know, it's not bad. It's, again, not about making a wrong or bad decision. It's just about how do we practice listening rather than just reacting. And to me, that's the real key.
Or, you know, though, for those of us that are born problem solvers and take great delight in doing that, is, yeah, many times we're off there problem solving on something that really isn't a problem.
Well,
But we never stop to think about that at the onset. So let me, I'll cite an example here. I had the opportunity. Our son Jake is coming home from college after his first quarter this coming Friday. We're all very excited as a family. But it wasn't that long ago that I flew to Savannah, Georgia with him for him to move in. And one of the things we needed to accomplish during freshman orientation was he had to take a math test to see which version of math he get placed in. And so, of course, all summer long, I'm kind of putting the math study guide in front of him or suggesting, you know, how to do that, you know, as moms have a tendency to do, and maybe dad every now and then. And he's, of course, pushing it off. And so we get on the plane to go to Savannah. He's grabbing the big, thick book to study on the plane going to Savannah. I said, okay, that works fine, you know. And we get there, and we end up doing all the things you have to do, you know, 5 trips to Target, et cetera. And he's still, you know, I really need to ask them about this math test thing, don't I, Mom? I said, yeah, that's probably a good idea. I think that's tomorrow morning, Jake. So we get there early, and he's thrashing as he's going to sleep. We go in to see the counselor and right away, and it seems like we're not getting a straight answer on where and how he takes the math test. And he sits down with the counselor, and the counselor says, well, just a minute here. Let me check your SAT scores and something else from his background from high school. And he says, oh, you don't need to take the math test. In fact, you've just waived the first year math. You don't even need to take math. And he kind of looks at me like, Mom, look what you've been doing to me. And I sat back and I said, this is classic one about right voices in your head and your limiting beliefs, right? And Mom's sitting there going, you got to take the math test, you know. Turns out he doesn't even need to take it. He waived the credit, and he can go right into the science of his choice.
Oh, that's hysterical.
And on one hand, I wanted to kiss the dean that was advising him, but on the other hand, I wanted to smack him and say, now, why didn't you tell me that at the beginning?
Right.
But you know what? You know what? They may have, and I didn't hear it because I wasn't listening.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
So the bottom line was we both did do a jig together as we walked out of the counselor's office.
Yeah.
But that idea of what, and of course all I was doing, and I know and I admit it, is I was projecting on my son what I had gone through in my various years of placing into math or whatever the case may be, being an engineering student.
You know, and that's such a good story, though, I have to tell you.
We've all been there.
I do think, though, that there is that tendency, and I'm, you know, the pattern I'm starting to watch is when I start to feel agitated or when I start to feel worry or when I start to feel concern, that's usually a trigger that I'm creating something that may not be there.
Yeah, okay, very good, yeah.
You know, and it's again, you know, how do I get myself to quiet and listen and somewhat trust? I mean, that's the hardest part of this. Is how do you trust? I dealt with that in my flights because I was needed to get from Chicago to Philadelphia, and the day before, they canceled all the flights. Well, they canceled one airline, they put me on a different one, and then an hour later, that one was canceled. So I have 100 people waiting for me in Philadelphia and no way to get there.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone's prepaid kind of situation.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's not like, oh, a company can just ask people to, you know, just
come
back
Tuesday,
to work,
right,
you know,
exactly.
We're going to cancel it. No, these are people that paid to come to an event. So then I decide, okay, I'm going to get to Raleigh-Durham to get to Philadelphia because at least it puts me in the right time zone. So I found a flight, and I discovered I can do there and be there about a half hour late on a full day session. So that's not so bad. So I make all those arrangements. Everything goes great. And I'm sitting on the plane. We're ready to take off, and there's a mechanical problem.
I knew you were going to say that.
And then 30 minutes later, they tell us it's canceled. They can't fix it. And so then I go across the gate. There happens to be another flight a half hour later. So, okay, so I'll be now an hour late, but that's okay. And 3 people in front of me, they now have no more seats. They've just run out of room to take people from one flight to the other. So now I'm like, oh, my gosh, there's like, you know, everything's done. Like I'm in my mind almost in tears thinking, sure, I have no way out of this. You know, and people are already at the venue waiting for me.
Mm-hmm.
That's how late it is. So now I'm thinking, okay, my only shot is to get to another airline. So I start walking towards the end of the terminal, but I make the phone call to, which they gave everybody phone numbers to call for, you know, customer service support on getting onto another, you know, flight.
So, yeah, you and 1,000 of your intimate friends calling the same line, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. And you have to understand, I'm literally almost in tears, assuming this whole thing, there's no way this is going to work. I mean, just by the time I get there, it'll be too late. And people are already waiting. And I'm on the phone with the agent. And while I'm on the phone, she goes, oh, someone just canceled on that 8 o'clock flight. I'll put you on there. And she put me on there. I go back to the gate where the flight's leaving. There's still five people trying to get on that didn't know that that happened. And at that exact moment where I was actually put on the plane, and I was there at the session an hour late, but still did the session. But can you, I mean, and there's no way of knowing. You know, I think back on it, it's like I was literally almost in tears, like just exasperated. And here it was, it works out anyway.
Yeah, and one would probably, it's not always going to do that, it's true. But and what you might find afterwards, that then you calmed yourself down on your flight. You probably were mentally reorganizing your material so it could be maximized within the new constraint of the time. And my guess is at the end of your presentation, you even said to yourself, you know, maybe I really didn't need that extra hour anyways for this material, and thus you stumbled in continuous improvement. And then probably what you heard from some of the participants of the seminar, that your being late allowed them to mingle and jingle more, and who knows what other positive effects will eventually spin out of that type of, you know, so it's almost like you had a warm-up act, Mark, by not being there.
Well, and I'm so glad you're raising that, Zara, because you're absolutely correct on this, and there was an absolute perfection to how it all showed up for everybody involved. And I will say, I do this event. It's a public thing I do, and I've been doing it for 8 years. I do them generally anywhere from 2 to 6 times a year. It's just this organization. It's Institute for Management Studies, and they put these on for large corporations. And that was the highest evaluations I had ever received for that organization.
Go figure. Isn't that something?
And I got through all the material. There wasn't anything I left out.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I don't even know how I got through all of it. I got through all of it. It was like, wow. There was so much other synchronicity and things that happened. But again, we have to have the trust that it's going to work out to our benefit. Because how many times have we thought something was a tragedy or something wasn't going well, or something we didn't like or we didn't want to have happen happened, and it turned out to be for the best. It actually turned out to be for our benefit.
And in fact gave you the memories of all sorts of new ways to twist and turn to take something.
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
Well, that's
and there's
great.
No question that, you know, I really felt the grace of God to have, be
sure.
That one person that got that called at the right time, when the person canceled at the right time to get on the flight. But that meant I was meant to be on that flight. Otherwise, I wasn't the one meant to be on it.
Well,
like,
I think
who knows? Maybe it should have been canceled. You know, if I didn't get on it, then how do I know that that wouldn't have already also been the perfect situation?
That's right. I'm starting to hear the Twilight Zone music in the background.
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, the other piece of it, and you and I would close on this point, is that, you know, the classic question of, you know, how to make God laugh, think you have a plan,
right?
Or the other one that you always say is that the single greatest addiction we have is to think that we really are in control. And so I think, like you're saying here, is to suspend some of that and to really listen so that your thinking mind isn't overtaking the other circumstances you have. Well, Mark Samuel, thank you so much. It's marksamuel.com for our listeners of interest to follow on Mark's precepts. Also, his new book, Making Yourself Indispensable, The Power of Personal Accountability. We'll talk to you in a couple weeks, Mark. Take care.
Yeah, thanks, Zara.
You bet.
Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it.